Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast, episode 15. I'm Mo, and I'm here with Luke and Elle. How the hell are you doing, guys?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Ratings out of 10?
I'm a solid 8 today.
Solid 8. Solid 8, I'll take that. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
7.5 bats.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So
okay.
You sliced a bat in half.
Oh,
brutal.
Yeah, actually, that's... Yeah.
Horrible. Don't forget, Golden Gods tickets are on sale right now. The greatest heavy metal awards show in the known universe is coming to London on June 11th at the Indigo in the O2 Arena. We've got Meshuggah playing. We've got Carpenter Brut playing. If you pay attention to the Metal Hammer website, if you pay attention to the Metal Hammer website today, you'll see another very special and exclusive performance announced as well. Jamie Jaster's hosting. It's going to be an amazing night full of the biggest bands in metal, loads of awards, more bands to be announced, as well as including actually the headliners, which is going to be announced in a couple of weeks. We're holding off on that because it's something very special indeed. It's going to be brilliant. So go on to tinyurl.com/GoldenGods2018 to find out how you can buy your tickets and come party with us on the night. It's going to be good, isn't it?
I'm going to get so drunk.
It is. Going to be that kind of evening.
Oh dear.
It's the first time in the entire time I've been at Hammer that we haven't had a deadline the next day, so it's going to be good fun. So yeah, go and buy your tickets if you want to join us. The latest issue of Metal Hammer also available to buy right now, still in shops for another week or so. That's our very world exclusive and awesome Ghost interview, so get all over that. Luke, you've been to New York.
I have.
The hell you were doing out there?
I went to see one of the greatest bands ever.
Ooh, big call.
I love Alice in Chains, but I've only seen them once before this, and that was
really.
Yeah, that was Download 2006. Like
their first time you've seen them do a proper
show. Sam Sheldon do an indoor show, yeah, and it just reminded me how much I fucking love that band. And yeah, I saw them do two nights at the Hammerstein Ballroom in Brooklyn. Not Brooklyn, in New York, in Manhattan.
Mate, you're having
a struggle. I'm a bit hot.
Me and Luke went to the wrestling last night. We had a lovely time. We were forced to.
Yeah, it's a bit hot today. But they were just fucking unstoppable, really. Like, they did two nights, did slightly different set lists each night.
I was going to say, did they change the set list?
Yeah, they did. They only played one new song each night, the same one, the new one, the one you know.
That's the name of the song, it wasn't...
Yeah, the one you know. And it sounded amazing, actually, the new song. Like, it fitted in perfectly with what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they didn't do too much, like, recent Will stuff. They, maybe three or four tracks off Black Is Way to Blue and...
Yeah, I mean, Black Is Way to Blue are a modern classic, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here, thought that was, like, solid. I don't know what you really want from Alice in Chains now, because they just do what they do so well, and they do it better than anyone. So as long as they're
honest. Yeah, those harmonised vocals were ridiculous in that room. It sounded amazing.
Maybe the best in all of rock.
The sound system there was incredible, and you just hear those, like, Jerry and Will's voice, and you're just like, this is amazing.
Awesome.
But then when they did, they did obviously quite a lot of Dirt, as you'd expect, but like the crowd just carried everything when they did anything off Dirt. Like Wood, the end of Wood was just like life affirming when everyone was just bellowing it out. It's like, fuck me.
Awesome.
It was so
good. I
don't
know how they feel playing that now though, because it is that song that everyone wants to hear all the time. You know, every band obviously has those songs. And did it feel like they still wanted to play it? Did it feel
I think so. I thought of this afterwards, actually. This, like, playing Rooster must be like, you know, Zeppelin doing Stairway to Heaven or
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, whatever again. But they looked so happy up there doing it, because I think they'd not been touring for ages anyway. I think just playing those songs again.
I think as well, it's worth remembering that they had, you know, I can't remember what year Lane died now. Was it 2002, something like that? But they had a good few years not knowing if they'd ever be able to play those songs again. So I can imagine they're probably grateful just to still be here and still doing it. I know we are. Absolutely. While Luke was having the time of his life in Manhattan, Elle and I were, I don't want to say stuck, but kind of locked away.
I wasn't stuck.
I don't know what you call it, the home of goth, the Electro Works in Angel in London. Anyone who's ever gone out to a goth night in London knows what I'm talking about.
You looked a bit nervous.
Well, I was just a bit out of my comfort zone, because I've been to the Electro Works for club nights and things like that, and I have actually been to, what's it called, Slimelight?
Yeah.
Which is, for those who don't know, is kind of the premier and long-standing goth club night in London. So I've kind of been there in that environment before, but it did make me realise that I've never really been to a low-key goth gig. And we were there to see Three Teeth. You want to talk about Three Teeth, though? I found it interesting.
Yeah, they're like an industrial band, but they veer more towards metal than the goth scene. So they're just quite a sort of dirty, synthy band with some, yeah, just some really dirty guitar parts in there. And the singer's cool, he was wearing shades, and that quickly became revealed why he was wearing shades, because they brought their own lights with them. And you if you were at the front, you could feel the heat like burning your face off, like literally. And we were a little bit further back, and they kept going into our eyes and blinding us.
Yeah, which I think this is in like what, like a 300 cap room, 400
yeah,
cap?
Yeah, so I'm guessing those lights are designed for much bigger venues. It looked amazing, but it was really intense having those lights they brought with them over from the States. But yeah, it was cool. It was just a synthy, industrial, gothic, cool gig. They've got some really great songs. The new material is really good. I think they're sort of writing more songs now rather than just having a sound, and a lot of people were sort of singing along to those new ones as well.
Yeah, it was. It felt like there were a lot of people that... It didn't feel like there were many casual fans in there. I felt people really were like into this band.
And a lot of dancing as well.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it's like they've definitely got that bit of a heavier edge. So they're, you know, it's kind of leaning more into like the Rammstein end of the scene, where you just got these big thumping riffs and proper metallic drum sections and stuff. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I'd go again.
Four males out of five.
For 15 gothic bats out of 17.
Oh, that's good.
That's what I'd give it.
I'm glad you liked it that much.
No, yeah, I thought it was really good.
I wanted you to like it, so...
As a relative outsider to that particular pocket of our scene, I enjoyed it, and it was cool to see a relatively new band get a really ecstatic response. It's always great to see young bands that are making people excited, so yeah, it was really cool. It was good. What is going on in the world of metal this week? Drama in the baby metal camp.
Drums.
Baby drums.
People thought that Yui Metal had left baby metal, and it all kicked off.
Because she hadn't been on stage for a few months now.
She was ill at the end of last year, and then there's a few shows she's not been in, so people were questioning why she wasn't there. So baby metal responded, basically just saying she's not left the band. But I don't know any more than that. Do you guys know anything?
A spokesperson for 5B management addressed the situation.
Same management who bring us the likes of Lamb of God and Slipknot and many other headlines.
Yeah, and the people that Baby Metal were working with on their new record label and so on. It says, Yui Metal remains a member of the band, but she is not on this current US tour. There is a new narrative for the future of the band, which is currently evolving. The storyline has changed.
Wow.
What the fuck does that mean?
I
wonder if they're going to spin off another band.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes there's a couple of songs in the Baby Metal set where Su Metal goes off and Yui Metal and Moe Metal do their own band, and they've released music together before and done songs together before, and I wonder if maybe Yui will do some kind of solo thing. Maybe she'll become sort of a different kind of character and perform with them and do her own thing. Just throwing it out there.
Wow.
That'll be quite interesting. So what, Yui Metal and Moe Metal already do their own thing?
They already do their own thing in a Baby Metal show. They have like their own... I've gone completely blank. I can't remember the song.
No, I remember as well, but because Su Metal gets her own segment
one point. They've got their own name. It's called...
I do remember at Wembley, yeah, there was just that bit where just the two of them came out and were running around the stage.
They've got a name for it as well. Is it Black Baby Metal? Something like that?
It's what amazes me about this story is that this band have already cultivated such an impassioned crowd, and we've talked before about how kind of in Japan they have a bit of a younger audience for the most part, and over here obviously they've got very kind of dedicated metal fans, but they've put together such a serious audience that the second there was a sniff of one member not being around much, the internet melted down over it. People went properly batshit about this
to
the point where management has had to step in and say it's all part of the plan.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's absolutely wild. I can't even think of many bands where like that would happen, but then they are an absolute oddity.
Yeah, it is a Black Baby Metal.
Black Baby Metal.
I think
so
they're
that's
kind of
their
meant
own
to be
thing.
Darker, do you know what I mean? And this whole new cycle they seem to be going into is like a dark cycle, so I sort of wonder if she's going to go off and do something dark. But I don't know.
It sounds like the quote continued to talk about the chosen seven which I think is the new thing that Baby Metal are doing.
They've got that photo of everyone in robes, yeah, haven't they?
And it says the who, when, where and how of the Chosen Seven will be presented as the concept unfolds. So I guess maybe Yui isn't, maybe she's not a chosen one. Maybe she, like, for some reason the Fox God didn't like her and now she's having to fight her way.
Or maybe she is the chosen one. Or she's the chosen one.
Ooh.
She's always my least favourite.
I'm kidding. They're all great.
Yeah, interesting times. Definitely keep an eye on metalhammer.com for this developing story. Wow, almost sound like growing up journalism then. Goodness me. In less serious realms, which I didn't think I'd say when talking about Baby Metal, there's a new Tenacious D album coming, is there?
Yeah, yesterday a video appeared on the internet on, I think it's Tenacious D's YouTube, obviously. Basically, it's like an animated video of Kyle and Jack sat there going, basically saying they're skint and need to record a new album. And they said, and at the end of the video, it says new tour 2018, definitely new album 2018, probably. So it's okay. Just like, oh, okay, fine.
So and that's, the last album was 2012, I think.
Yeah, Rise of the Phoenix, which I thought was a bit shit.
I mean,
it was that penis cover, wasn't it? It was like a phoenix and a cock at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very droll.
I'm seeing that, that download. Yeah, the big inflatable willy phoenix come out of the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Do we need another Tenacious D album in 2018? I put it to
I you. Don't know. I always found them funny. I love the first album. I think the first album was brilliant. But it's fair, everything since then has been a bit like, eh. Like, Pig of Destiny had a few okay songs on it. Like, the song The Metal is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that the one the movie metal came out of as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they've also said that they're working on a sequel to Pig of Destiny. That was a news story from last week as well. Okay. So, Tenacious D are busy this year. But I don't know if it's funny, then yeah. Like, I've got nothing against it as long as it's funny. My problem with Rise of the Phoenix was I just didn't think it was that entertaining, either musically or comedically. Which was, it was a shame because they're both, you know, very funny men. But yeah, if it's good, then I'm all for it. And to be fair, when we posted the story yesterday on the website, everyone was resoundingly positive about it. Like,
they're always a big band, aren't they? The last time they came out, I think they were maybe even sub-headlining when they played Downloads a few years
ago. Yeah, they were, and it was a bit awkward because Steel Panther were on before them and Steel were
Panther,
way better.
Yeah, Steel Panther smashed almost everybody that day, to be fair. But yeah, it's weird with Tenacious D. Actually, I remember watching that set and being irritated that they managed to have 14 songs and didn't play Wonderboy.
That was my exact thought, they didn't play Wonderboy.
Tenacious D have not gigged as much as your average metal band. They do not have the, you know, they can't be sick of playing certain songs by now already. And with the best of respects, like, obviously, you know, Jack Black loves and knows his shit, and they're both great musicians, but, you know, they've only got really, for a festival sub-headline set, they've only got about 6 or 7 songs, maybe, that casual fans will know. And to not play Wonderboy, I was just like, really? I found it absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, it's a weird one, because it's basically their third biggest song, tribute, and fuck her gently.
Yeah. Very, very strange. Oh, well, we'll see what happens with that. Interesting to see how Tenacious D fit into the world of metal in 2018. What's Kirk Hammett been saying in the internet?
Well, depending on which side.
In the year 2002.
Yeah, well, depending on, you know, which side of, you know, the internet you fall on, you might think this is a good or bad thing. Basically, he was interviewed on a Swedish TV show about, you know, various things, and so, for some reason, the whole topic of Napster came up again, and basically he said, and I quote, "The whole Napster thing didn't do us any favours whatsoever, but you know what? We're still in the right on that. We're still right about Napster, no matter who's out there saying Metallica was wrong. All you had to do is look at the state of the music industry, and that explains the whole situation right there."
Right. So how do you guys feel about this? Because it seems like we can't ever go too far in Metallica world without someone digging up the whole Napster thing again. Yeah. And now that we've seen what is almost the end game of the internet versus music, how do you look back on the whole Napster thing? I mean, for anyone who might be a bit younger or whatever, or didn't remember at the time, Napster, kind of the original big time streaming service, peer-to-peer sharing service. And kind of one of the first platforms where you could get music for free, illegally, technically speaking, and Metallica went to war with them, and went to war with all the people using
it. Yeah, completely, and it was a big black mark on their career, really. Not that it's done them any damages, I'm sure, but other than, you know, fans moaning. But it was just a bit like, as you know, a fan who's, you know, someone who's now part of the Spotify generation and basically pays a, you know, a tenner a month for all the music in the world. You know, no one's got the money even back then to buy all the albums that you want in the world, and it's ridiculous, I thought at the time.
But does that give you the right to have an album? You know, I can't afford the car I want.
No, totally.
I can just go and have one.
No, totally. I just had to say, it's not right at all. It's not right. And I can get why Metallica were annoyed about it. But at the same time, it did burn... It did have a bad taste in a lot of fans' mouths. Just like, no, you're not allowed this, basically.
It was just a reaction, though, wasn't it? It was really, really reactionary. It was like, this is happening. This is a new thing. We don't understand it. It's going to change the music industry. It might be negative for us. Let's do something about it now. Like, it was very much a reactionary thing, and I think that's why people keep going back and asking them about it, because it is so many years later, the landscape has changed so much, and at the time I think it was literally a reaction. But Lars was talking about it last year and said that obviously Metallica were pro bootlegging when they started. It was all about tape trading, so on the one hand the Napster thing was kind of an extension on that, but on the other hand
can't take trade kind of the fact 5 million people at once.
Exactly, it's a scale, isn't it? And I think it was sort of that "what the fuck is happening here" aspect of it that made them come out so strongly against it at the time.
I think maybe the band would even admit that maybe it could have been like the PR side of it could have been handled a bit better, because I think going, you can't fight the internet. Has anyone who's ever looked at them at home on Facebook knows you cannot fight the internet. It's just, you can't do it. You can't control it, you can't fight it, and you can't kind of go to war with it in a way that looks like you're attacking your actual fans, which, you know, most people that downloaded Metallica are fans. But at the same time, you know, okay, Metallica are always going to be able to survive the situation that we have now with streaming and everything else, but a lot of bands don't. I remember Deftones, I can't remember which album it was, I think it might have been Koi no Yoken, or maybe the one before, but I remember they had an album that leaked and they estimated that it cost them about $1 million. And you can't, you know, Deftones might be a really big band and they can live off their music now, but they're not, you know, they're not Metallica. That's a lot of money to suddenly take out of your pocket for an organisation that goes through the, you know, the five musicians and the producers and the management and everything else. Like, it's not it's the Wild West out there.
Well, you mentioned handling it as well, but this was a time when there weren't massive Twitter storms like there are now. So it's probably one of the first big kind of, this is an internet scandal.
Yeah,
things
totally.
That
totally
happened.
The message boards were aflame.
So, you know, again, that's something that no one really knew how to deal with, I don't think.
So I guess there's a kind of verdict for it all. Do you think Metallica were right all along? That Napster bad?
Napster.
That was a very niche internet reference for anyone who had
it. Yeah, well, Napster bad in the way that it was illegal and the artists were making zero money. But on the whole, I think this idea of, you know, peer-to-peer sharing, which is bad, led to streaming, which is good, in my opinion.
Bands still would make piss all money off streaming, though.
Bands do make piss all money off streaming, but at least they make some money off streaming. You know, it's not like someone's sat there going, I've got loads of money and I would go buy all these albums. All the albums I listen to on Spotify, I couldn't afford to go and buy.
True.
You know.
But how much money do you... I think it's probably worth pointing out that metalheads are much more loyal to physical products, and I think you've probably got a much higher rate of fans that will stream an album and then go out and buy merchandise and tickets
completely.
Vinyl and...
Exactly. I think that's the way everything seems to be pointing at the minute, is that if you want to make money, you do it from tickets now, not from records. And yeah, you're more likely to get more people at your gigs if you're on streaming services, is the way I see it. But at the same time, Tool would probably disagree.
Yes, very true. And I think we're getting there, but it still doesn't feel like the music industry's cracked it.
No, I think the music industry as a whole treated the internet really badly at the beginning. Just saw it as a threat. I thought, no, we want to charge 15 quid for these 9 songs. It's just like, nah,
maybe not.
I'm sure some stats came out earlier this year though, saying that the industry was in a healthier position than it had been in years.
I heard that recently.
Things had kind of almost gone, not gone back to pre-streaming days, but
weren't falling off a cliff for the first time in a while.
Well, yeah, I remember being quite surprised by it. And you know, obviously vinyl sales have increased, but that's still a tiny percentage. But in terms of actually making money as a whole of every revenue stream, they seem to be not as bad as I'd thought. Don't have any stats to hand, sadly.
They're out there.
Yeah.
Go on the internet and find them.
Maybe something we could look into for a future Hammer report. You know, we like to bring you the real news. Oh, God. You like said it. No. Yes. That's,
what is wrong with you?
But we will. We will indeed. We're going to do a recently introduced segment of the podcast now. We can talk about one new band a month that's in the current issue that we want to big up and bring to your attention on another level. And we're going to talk about Primal Right. Now, this is a band who I actually first heard about when I was interviewing Riley from Power Trip for our kind of Hammer Tour cover that we did last month with Trivia and Power Trip, Ben in Prison and Corridor and John. I was just talking to him about the health of the scene in general. And he just kind of went off on this gushing monologue about how great Primal Right are. They're from the Bay Area, which already gives them a little bit of metal integrity. And they're basically kind of, I don't know how to put it really, yet another crushingly heavy, metallic, kind of buzzsaw riffed hardcore band. They're led by a singer called Lucy Xavier, who's a transgender singer. She's got some very interesting stuff to say about where metal's at and the kind of way we're dealing with those kind of issues in the current issue as well. And basically, if you like the sound of bands like Power Trip, kind of Cro-Mags, Integrity, those kind of really heavier old school hardcore bands, there's also kind of a good death metal thing in there as well. Bands like Obituary, you can hear that kind of low end crunch, and like I said, they're kind of, oh, sorry, Luke, just smacked Luke in the head, I'm getting excited. Those kind of low end gutsy kind of buzzsaw guitar sounds as well. They're absolutely awesome. The album's called Dirge of Escapism and it's out now via Revelation. And as I said, Lucy's a really, really interesting character. I think she could become a real good person for the scene in general, not just because of who she is and where she's come from and what she represents, but just someone who isn't afraid to kind of talk about where the scene's at and you know, where the Bay Area's at in terms of producing new bands and everything else. I don't think they're coming over to the UK anytime soon, but we'd love to have them over because from what I've heard, they're absolutely savage live as well. So get on this band, they're fucking brilliant, and they come Power Trip approved. So if you like Power Trip, you'll definitely like Primal Right. I can't say better than that. They're very, very good. Yeah, Dirge of Escapism is the album, so get on Primal Right, they're bloody brilliant. We should take some reader questions.
Let's do it.
Go on then.
Smooth segue. Ben Wilmot asks, given several recent reported incidents of people being hurt in pits at shows, again gives examples of Machine Head in Southampton and several people having to be carried out during Power Trip and Code Orange at Brixton on the Hammer Tour, is gig etiquette getting worse or has it been just as bad for years?
Well, first of all, fuck crowd killing. I think we can all agree on.
Mm.
Anyone that goes to a gig to hurt somebody or to show off and try to be a macho lad and punch people or beat people up or just do all that shit is an idiot, and we don't want you in our scene, and you can fuck off.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it in the street, so you've got no right to do it in a venue.
And if you would do it in the street, you should probably be in prison. That's scary.
That's just assault, isn't it?
Yeah. Does seem to be a bit of a thing at the moment, doesn't it? People actually getting knocked out at gigs and, you know, violence and what the fuck's going on?
So I've not seen any of it firsthand because I wasn't at the Code Orange show, but what the one thing all of my Twitter feed was saying at the time was, oh my God, they've had to stop the show again.
Yeah, they stopped the show three times on the Trivium Tour, twice during Power Trip and then once during Code Orange, and we did see at least one person get carted out for being a dick.
Oh yeah, but every now and again you see someone get pulled out with like a bloody nose or whatever, and sometimes, you know, things happen by accident, but it does feel like, I don't know whether the crowds are getting more violent or what, really. It's a weird one. I don't, my moshing days are over. Yeah, I'm too old now.
Oh, shut up.
You're the youngest one.
Doesn't mean I want to get punched in the face, but it's...
You should, but
yeah,
then
I know. No, but it doesn't feel like it's getting any more violent, but at the same time, I've been, you know, because I've been going to hardcore shows for years. You always see these people throwing their arms and legs around. But at the same time, I think hardcore dancing is died a death now. Really,
I don't see
people doing spin kicks anymore.
Yeah, it's like when you do see it, it's kind of like, oh, this is still a thing. Occasional kind of, you know, dutty low level party or something.
Yeah, you see people two stepping. That's fine. But but I say crowd kicking. I've only seen one proper example of it, and that was during Black Tongue, I think, a few years ago. And yeah, there was this one dude adamant.
They're a really slow band. Though.
Yeah, yeah. And he was just like the pit opened. It was massive. There. And this one dude just kept fucking elbowing anyone he could in the face. They was just standing around watching. And it was just like, fuck off.
It's such a weird thing. Why would you do that? Why would you go to a gig and think, I'm going to smack something? Like, what is so sad about your life that you'd want to go and do something like that?
Don't know. It's pretty scary. I mean...
Yeah, it is scary.
The thing at Brixton, you know, you go to a gig and you expect to come back out of it. And the Brixton one where it was stopped three times, you know, we were there. And it was so surprising because I'd seen a gig stopped one time. And that was actually Lamb of God gig in Birmingham. And not only is it understandable that you would stop the gig if someone's hurt, but also very understandable given what Randy went through, that their security would want to make sure everything's absolutely 100% fine. So I'd only had one experience, really, of being at a show that had been stopped. And with the past couple of incidents happening in the last couple of weeks, you do wonder, are these just random occurring incidents, you know, correlation, not causation, or is something happening? And I think until, you know, the next few months being by, we won't really know whether it's a trend or not. It could literally just be two things have happened and those shows have stopped. But it's also interesting that it is in these larger venues, because usually the more violent shows, shall we say, would happen in the smaller venues.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Rob Flynn came out with a statement saying that people should be able to go and enjoy gigs and pick each other up in the pit, and this kind of thing shouldn't be happening, which is absolutely right. Like you said, Luke, everyone's been injured in a pit before, but the golden rule is that you pick someone up, and if someone is injured, then probably want to try and help them, unless they're excited about it. Some people get excited about their injuries.
Let's
come out with the guy with the bloody nose that we saw at Stray from the Path. He was
quite
excited about that. But yeah, mostly you should be picking people up. So is there a shift in attitude? Is this happening? And if so, why? Is it something to do with metal crowds changing? Is it something to do with just generally society and life being a bit harder and a bit more tense at the moment in the current climate? Like, I'd be interested to see if it happens again, really. Hopefully not. I don't want anyone to get hurt.
it's unnecessary, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if it could be, probably getting a bit ahead of myself with this, but it could be the fact that heavy music is really on the rise again at the moment, and when that happens you kind of attract casual fans who want to come down and just show off and, you know, be dickheads. But yeah, I don't know. Interesting thing. But don't do it. And call out crowd killing. And if they're bigger than you, get security to do something. Because they often are. Callum Reed asks, the Slayer farewell tour is a solid lineup. Solid lineup? it's a banging lineup.
Yeah.
However, there was surely an opportunity to give some new blood a chance. Which younger bands would you have liked to see on the Slayer tour? And which of the bands could they have replaced? I don't know if you want to cart any of the bands off that tour.
Well, that's all really good.
That's the thing. What is it? Slayer, Lamb of God, Anthrax, and Obituary.
Yeah. I mean, seeing a bit, giving a band like Obituary, like a legendary death metal band who very rarely would ever get the chance to play a big stage, giving a legend like that the chance to play Wembley Arena is pretty cool.
That is great. I think I wouldn't want to get rid of anyone. You could, you know, add another band and make it a 5-band bill. But
it feels like an event having those four bands as well, because they're all so well respected in what they do, and they all bring a really good show. It feels like super, super exciting to know that you're going to see four bands that are absolutely going to smash it.
I mean, last time I saw Lamb of God indoors was when they co-headlined Wembley with Megadeth, and it was the best I'd seen them in about 10 years.
Oh, they were amazing that night.
I said Savage twice. Lots of Savage bands in the world at the
moment.
But if you had to add a band, I think it would be Power Trip.
That's the one that came to mind. Yeah, it's just like new, you know, young thrash band. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone even remotely on the thrash or probably as well hardcore spectrum that wanted to add a younger band to just, you know, give them a push or spice things up, you'd bring Power Trip's the one.
Yeah, it's going to be sick. They've recently been announced for Bloodstock, I think, and they're going to be really, really good on that main stage, I think.
Well, Bill, that's going to be yes.
Tim Ruffsedge asks, any albums got your pulses racing so far this year that you weren't expecting? Either surprise from established act or a new band?
Loads, I think.
I think we talked about it a lot, so I won't mention it in depth, but the Priest album.
Yeah, really surprised.
An established band coming back with their best album in 25 years and one of the best metal albums of the last few years. No Surrender is like my PMA anthem. It's so good. I still listen to it nearly every single day.
Really?
Yeah. Fair. Literally. It's yeah. So that was, I don't want to say a surprise because you kind of have confidence in Priest delivering the goods.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a surprise to me though, because yeah, it's what, their 16th album or something. You don't expect a band that you know, being nearly 50 years into their career, releasing their 16th album to be what, you know, a fucking great record. You yeah. sort of expect to be okay, fine, it's another Priest album. Like, I didn't care about Redeemer of Souls really.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh well.
I think it was solid.
Different things.
Priest have delivered solid albums since they came back, but this is like, this is what yeah. I want.
Necromancer is an incredible journey.
Yeah, it's good,
unreal.
But yeah, in terms of new stuff, I guess the Conjurer records, like, I was, it's amazing in terms of new stuff. Like, I knew, not that I knew it was going to be good, but I mean, yeah, I've seen them once or twice and thought, yeah, this band are cool. But then you hear the album, you're like, yeah, yep, fine, best debut of the year. What else? The Lick album, which I'd never heard of them before.
Who?
Lick, L-I-K.
Well, you throw me there.
Well,
I don't know who that band are.
Well, that album's called Carnage. Dom Lawson introduced me to them. It's like super, yeah, super savage death metal, and it's fucking brilliant.
Awesome.
I think it's on Napalm or Metal Blade, one of the two. And yeah, it's nasty. And the new LLNN record as well, which is just a really, really horrible sounding band. Because I only listened to them fairly recently, I think this week really. And everyone told me it was horrible. And yeah, it starts off a bit like, okay, I get it, it's a bit nasty. But then we get to the final song, you realise you've just been sucked into this horrible, nasty hole. It's just like that you can't escape from. It's like, fucking hell, this
you're
is brutal. Yeah, listening to really nasty music. But outside of metal, the Cardi B album's really good in terms of new stuff. Oh, so God. Come on.
Very, very good. Al, anything that surprised you this year?
Well, again, not to go on about it forever, because we talked about synthwave loads as well, but GOST, you say it, yeah. Ghost, but not to be confused with the other Ghost. I got really obsessed with Possessor and just kept playing that over and over and over again. So I've had to give it a little break now. But that was good.
Weaning yourself.
Very excited about that.
I should say as well, maybe we'll talk about it a bit in the coming weeks, but if we're talking about surprising things, there's some stuff on the Ghost album that you are not ready for. I'm telling you right now. Saxophone solo is all I can say to sum it up for now. We might go into that a little bit more later on, but yeah, that is a surprising album in all the very, very best ways.
Cole Gable asks, have any of you ever had an idea for an article or recurring segment that never made it into the magazine?
No.
If so, what was the idea? Yeah, everything I say goes. If so, what was the idea?
That never made it into the magazine.
Something that was too crazy.
I mean, I like to think if we all really stand in something, you know, I'll give it a go. Did we ever make Heavy Metal Pets into
no the, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I think we did it online for a while.
I really,
that was our previous editor, Alexander.
Yeah, you guys did it online, and when I arrived I was like, oh, I'd love to do Metal Pets, but I also knew that it was really stupid.
Yeah,
so we never did it. But
we thought about doing literally famous metal artists' pets.
Just because pets are really adorable. Yeah. And it's always kind of nice when you get something.
Everyone
really
likes metal, everyone likes dogs.
We're and it's kind of cool when you get something really incongruous. You get somebody who's like super, super metal and super cult, and then they've got like a tiny kitten or something. It's
yeah,
always good.
Definitely. Yeah, that was a good one.
Remember those pictures of Danzig with like the kitty litter or something? Do you remember those pictures that came out online? There was like Danzig in a pet shop and it was like dragging some kitty litter behind him or something, like dressed
we were like dragging some kittens. I was like, fucking hell.
It's like dressed all in black and it became a meme.
No,
that
does sound good. I remember Phil Anselmo and Kerry King and a few others going to that sanctuary, and they were all hanging out with the kittens and dogs, and that went a little bit viral.
Oh, there's that thing where everyone goes to Australia and goes to the exact same koala sanctuary.
Oh yeah, yeah, they all go to the same one, which means the whole of metal scene's probably got chlamydia.
That's the way it works.
They do.
Yeah, all of them.
That's the koalas are the ones that have chlamydia, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
yeah.
Not all of them. They're
dirty bastards.
What's that thing about?
Oh, do they not?
I don't think so. I don't think they're just crawling with it. What's
no, that? I did. I thought they ca- like they it? Carried it or something.
Can you get it from a koala?
Yes.
You can get it in your eye, can't you?
If it weeds on you, apparently one of them weed on one of One Direction, was it, a few years ago? I'll have to fact check.
What, and they got chlamydia?
I don't think that
in their
happened.
Eyes.
I don't think they got chlamydia, but I remember there being like a sort of I'd love to fact check this, because this has all been taken out. I'm sure one of them actually got weed on by a koala, and there was this big like, oh my god, he's caught.
We had some law training at Metal Hammer this week. It's just as part of the future processing. you could have just slandered someone.
Yeah, exactly.
That koala's going to sue.
Don't. Sitting at home going, I don't know if that's the noise they make. Don't fuck koalas. That's the point. Jamie Noriega asks, if Cliff Burton had not... Well, doing all the Metallica checkpoints today.
Yeah.
If Cliff Burton had not passed away, would Metallica still have released the Black Album?
Probably not as we know it, but I mean, you can't... It would be naive to think they'd have been stayed the thrash band they were forever.
Yeah, it's not like they weren't already evolving significantly
with
the four albums that came before that.
Yeah, and... Yeah, I think yes. Like it probably would have been a bit heavier, maybe, but a bit more groove to it. But yeah, of course they would. They were eyeing that mainstream for years beforehand.
Yeah, and it would have been interesting to see how it sounded, because Cliff was such an integral part of the band. You know, his influence is wrought all over the first three albums.
Mm.
So yeah, it would have been interesting, but I definitely think it would be naive to think that Metallica would be playing pubs now if Cliff Burton was still alive.
I just want to throw in a not very subtle plug for our Story of Thrash series that we're running over the next four
excellent
issues.
Plugging, deputy editor.
But yeah, if you're into anything to do with thrash, get on this. It's going to tell the story of thrash right from its birth up until the present day, and there's a very interesting part which concentrates all on the changing sound of thrash in the 90s. So you're going to want to read that.
Yeah, do it. That is it for this week's show. Thanks, as always, for listening. I'm not here next week.
Good.
So let's just forget it.
Yeah.
I'm away.
From your holiday.
On my holly bobs. So Luke and Elle and I assume Mr. Jonathan Southside.
I imagine it'll be Jonathan, yes.
We'll be bringing you all the best news and reviews and gossip from the world of metal. We'll also be revealing the brand new issue of Metal Hammer. It is a fucking biggie. We put something together that is a world exclusive thing that is going to, I think, set the internet alight. It's going to be wicked. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to us on iTunes or Acast. Is it Acast or Acast?
Acast.
On Acast. Golden Gods tickets still on sale now, and you still have just over a week, I think, to get the Ghost issue, so get it before it's gone, because once it's gone you ain't getting it anywhere else. We will see you next week. Well, I won't, they will. Bye guys.
Bye.
See ya.